Good to see everyone out today on such a nice day. If you're following along this morning, we're going to be kind of hopping around this morning, but we're going to start in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, and verse 15. You know, every once in a while, I like to bring what the people of old used to call a fire and brimstone sermon. You know, Revelation, the book of the Bible that we close out the Bible with, was almost left out of the canon that we have today, because people didn't like all that fire and damnation that was in it. You know, they talked about God's love and they wanted to focus on that. But if God and Jesus Himself thought it was important to speak on the subject of hell and the people who are going to be there, then I think it's important for us to every once in a while talk about that also. You know, hell is kind of one of those places that has been watered down over the years. We've seen a lot of movies and, you know, we've seen everything from people down in hell partying and having a good time, you know, to the devil out there, you know, kind of running the show there, not being a resident of hell himself with him and his demons. You know, they run around, you know, stroking the fires and pushing people into the fires, and that's just not the way it works. They're in that fire also. So we've seen hell get watered down a lot. You know, a man was looking to buy a property, and he had this excited realtor showing him, you know, what can only be described as one of the most worn-out, wrecked farms anyone had ever seen. The land had just been worked to death. It's kind of like Dust Bowl days. Even the weeds didn't want to grow where this place was. Now the smiling realtor said, "Now really, all this land needs is a little water, a nice cool breeze, and some good people." Well, the man thought about it for a while, and he replied back. He said, "Yeah, I agree, but couldn't that be said of hell too?" You know, hell is a terrible place. And, you know, people look at Haiti and other places, you know, they say it's hell on earth. We've heard that expression before. And not that this is not the worst thing that happened to people. It is very terrible. But the worst thing is not to go to heaven and to be thrown into the fires of hell for eternity. That's much worse than anything this whole world can throw our way. You know, it's not a place of mild punishment. It's not a place of partying. It's not a place that anyone can ever get out of. Some people feel that it's a place, well, God's going to punish them for a while, then He's not going to expend His energy anymore on that and just have them be annihilated and they'll go out of existence. Well, you know, to someone that's suffering that bad, being out of existence would be better. But I don't buy that, because God said it would be forever and ever. I also don't buy that, you know, well, He don't need to expend His energy. God's energy is limitless. And, you know, keeping that place going as a place of punishment is like that. Now, I know I've said it before, you know, I was converted by a fire and brimstone sermon, and I've heard a lot of people say, well, you know, you can convert people with a fire and brimstone sermon, but they don't stay that way. Well, I kind of beg to differ. We had the same argument back in the 80s about all the school bus ministries, where they'd run around, pick up the kids with the school buses, and a lot of people felt it was just parents dumping their kids off for a few hours so they could have peace from them. Well, I went to preacher school, to Bible school, with someone who was converted on those school buses. And now he's a preacher in Battius, Oklahoma. And he's also a school teacher out there. So, you know, our efforts don't seem to pay off sometimes, but they do work sometimes. And I think that God, while He's calling our attention with this, it's important to call our attention to it, because it is vital that we know exactly what's in store for those who don't follow God. You know, it says for the Christian, earth is the only hell that he or she will know. And for the non-Christian, earth is the only heaven he or she will know. So, for the Christian, this is the worst that it gets, this life now. I know it can get pretty bad, I know it can get rough, but it's not the eternal punishment. But for the non-Christian, for the one who rejects Christ, this is the best that they're going to have is here on this earth here. So, unfortunately, many people don't believe in the reality of hell, or even the reality of heaven sometimes. Or many conclude that God's love will allow many, if not all, to be saved. They forget about God's justice. And that's why we're going to look at a lot of scriptures today, because this is speculation by people. This is what people say. But I want to look at what the Bible tells us, what Jesus said, what God said, what the Spirit moved men to say about this place. Some believe that hell is only annihilation, or punishment for a while, annihilation. That's not what our Bible tells us. It teaches us the reality of hell. You know, the unbeliever asked the Christian, suppose you learn there's no heaven. Well, the Christian asked the unbeliever, suppose you learn there's a hell. We don't want to spend eternity knowing that we made a mistake in life. Our verse this morning, Revelation 20, verse 15, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Now, we don't know if it's an actual fire or anything like that, but he uses these illustrations, like the illustrations of heaven, streets of gold, and about the walls being, you know, so high, this four-square city that they had. It denotes a lot of symbolism. But this punishment that he's talking about, whether it takes the form of an actual lake of fire, or it takes the form of God causing pain for people forever and ever, this is what they have to look forward for. And people say, well, what's the purpose of hell? What does it do? Well, it was originally prepared for the devil and his angels. In chapter 20, if we go back to verse 10, and the devil, who deceived them, was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet have been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's the place that the devil's gone to. The devil's not Joseph Cotton sitting at a desk managing the affairs of hell with demons making people go into the fire with a pitchfork. Satan is going to be in there being punished just like every other sinner that has ever lived that doesn't follow God. We're all sinners. But we have come under the grace of Christ when we obey His commands, when we follow Him. Our sins are forgiven. And we're written in that book of life. But these people aren't. God's justice demands that man pay for his sins. God's justice put us rowing in that same boat as the devil and his demons. But God, because of his love for you and me, sought for a way to separate us for all that. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, Hebrews 9 and 10, chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, I'm sorry. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through everything exists, should make the author of our salvation perfect through suffering. Now, salvation is available for each and every person that lives on this earth, that has ever lived. And Jesus died for all of us, if we'll accept Him. All those who accept the gift will be saved from God's wrath. Let's look at Romans 5, 9. Romans 5, 9, since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? So we're going to be saved through His blood. Now this is not what the world tells us. The world just tells us that God loves everyone and no one's going to be punished, or they'll be punished for a little while, or you go to purgatory, a made-up place in the centuries after the Bible was written. that talks about people being punished for a little while, and maybe if you send a little money into to the church, you'll get them out of purgatory or something like that. But those who do not accept the gift will meet God's wrath. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9. In 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, we read, "And give relief to you who are troubled, and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power." People need to realize today that if we don't obey the gospel, and he's specific about that. Jesus said, "Lest a man be born of water, he can't enter the kingdom." Peter is the first preach what man needed to do to enter that kingdom. That he needed to realize, or she needed to realize, that they were a sinner. And because of that, and that regret, repent of that sin. And because of that, confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God Himself, and that He is the author of our salvation. And then obeying Him to be born of that water again, to be baptized and brought out of that water, suffering the same as He did, the death of the old self, the burial in that water like He was buried, and to rise again as that new creature that we should be today, that is what we have to do today. A lot of people make fun of that. And it's unfortunate that they disobey God like that. God wants obedience. And yet so many who want to follow God decide that they're not going to follow Him the way He said to follow Him, but follow Him in their own way. It's right there. It's plain. I'm reading from the Bible. Anyone who wants to argue with that can argue with the Bible, because that's what it stands for. And all who accept this gift will be saved from God's wrath. Again, Romans 5:9. Will be saved from the wrath that is there for those who don't obey Him. And some people say, "Well, that's terrible that God would do something like that." What's more terrible? That God puts a place for punishment for people who reject Him? Or is it more terrible that people know that this is the punishment and they still disobey God? Which one is worse? Those who do not accept the gift of God or meet His wrath. So what about the place of hell? Revelation 21:15 tells us it's a lake of fire. Mark 9:48 tells us that fire is not quenched. We see from what we read that the devil is going to be punished there forever and ever. And those with him will be punished forever and ever. Now, eternity is a long time. It's not a year. It's not a decade. It's not a century. It's not a millennium. It's not 10,000 years, 20,000 years. It's not a million, billion, trillion, gazillion years. It's forever and ever. You'll never get used to the pain. You know, some of us live with pain, and we kind of get used to it if it's not too bad. But you'll never get used to that pain. It's a place of torment. Let's look at Luke 16, 23 through 24. People don't like to mention hell, but Jesus sure did a lot of times in the Bible. In Luke 16, verses 23 through 24, in hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." That's not a place we want to go. you've ever been real thirsty, there's nothing that tastes better and sweeter than a cool glass of water. That they'll never have. It's also a place of consciousness. It's not going to fade out of existence. You're not going to know anything. If we, in Luke 16, again, verses 23 through 24, he knew where he was. He knew he was thirsty. And he knew and saw the beauty of heaven. Can you imagine what it's like to be in hell and to look at all those who accepted Christ and lived their life trying to follow him and watch as you're tormented each and every day as they enjoy life and live in the beauty and bask in the glory that God prepares for us? It's not a place we want to be. One of the statements that's made there in Luke 16, verse 25. One of the saddest statements you'll ever see, but Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime, you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony." So we see that he had that chance. Now he lives with that thought, that I could have changed my life. I could have gave something to Lazarus. I could have obeyed God. I shouldn't have been so haughty. I should have followed what they told me to do. Abraham reminded him. He had it there. And on Judgment Day, when the souls are crying out for the punishment they face and the judgment that's before them, they'll know they had a Bible on their shelf. They had a church up the street. They could hear it on TV if they wanted to. It was all there for people to read. And yet they didn't accept it. They went about their way and lived their life, not worrying one whit about what tomorrow would bring, about what eternity would bring in their lives. It's a place without the slightest hope of release. Matthew 25:46. Now again, not my speculation, not my words, but the words that come from the Bible. There's nothing more telling than that. "Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." That's what the Bible tells us. There is no release from heaven. There's no part-time in hell. There is no release from that punishment. You know, the prisoner, if he's got a year sentence or 2 years, whatever he's got, he can mark on that calendar each of those days, and as that goes by, the days go by, the months go by, the years go by, and finally, they get released. They don't need a calendar down there. Because one day is not going to matter from the next day. And one day gone is not going to bring them any shorter or any release from their punishment according to what the Bible tells us here. What about the degree of punishment in hell? As if we don't think it's bad enough already, let's look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. Second Peter, chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. "If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled in it and overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them to have known not to know the way of righteousness than to have known it and then turn their back on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Of them the proverbs are true, a dog returns to his vomit, and the sow is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud." Now some people are going to return to that. They're going to give up. They're going to hear the word. They're going to obey it. They're going to live it for part of their lives and turn their back on it. They're going to go back. So when they tell you, "Well, once saved, always saved," Bible doesn't tell us that. It tells us that someone can turn their back on that. And their place is in that place of destruction also. Matthew 8:12 tells us it's a place of darkness where you can't see. It's a place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 25:30. Is that a place we want to go? Is that a place any of us want to go today, to a place where we'd be weeping and gnashing our teeth in agony over what's happening there? Mark 9:48 tells us that it's a place where the worm does not die. It's a place where you are separated from God's presence. God's place in the kingdom for us brings us beauty and brings us salvation. And it'll bring us close to God. And in the warmth of God's love and in the warmth of His embrace, we'll live eternally if we obey Him. What about the people of hell? Matthew 7:13-14 tells us, wide is the path that leadeth to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to salvation. 2 Thessalonians 1:7 tells us that those who don't believe in God. Well, you got a lot of people that believe in God. But do they obey Him? Do they obey the commands that have been set out for us? Those who don't obey God. 2 Thessalonians 1:7 and Matthew 7:21 tells us that we need to obey what He says. Now I look at this Bible and I look at it and I believe it's God's Word. And when I look at it, it tells me to do something, then I do it. I don't question it. I may wonder about it. What, you know, does it make a lot of sense? I don't know, but God's wisdom is greater than mine and I'm going to follow Him. I'm not going to change it. Those who did obey, but have fallen away, as we read in 2 Peter. Simply, those whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life in 2015. You know, there's an old Portuguese proverb that says, hell is paved with good intentions and roofed in with lost opportunities. You know, hell is paved with good intentions. But the thing is, even those who try to do good, they said, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in Your name. We healed the sick. He says, I don't know You. I don't know You because You don't obey Me. So it's not just good deeds that will get you out of there. It's obedience to God and obedience to the Bible. We can't emphasize that enough today. So we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. It's a serious matter with eternal implications. When the Bible tells us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, that makes me think I need to be careful with this word. I need to make sure that I follow this word as God wants me to. That whatever someone tells me, that I look to this word to see that they're telling me the truth. And this morning, we've looked at a lot of verses, and none of them say what the world will tell you today is out there. You know, we can recover from a lot of mistakes in our life, and some of us have. We can be forgiven if we repent of our transgressions. We can be forgiven today if we'll just obey Christ and His commands concerning salvation. So, concluding this morning, again, the prisoner with the calendar, he can mark off those days, and those days grow shorter. He's got less time in prison. But the calendar for the prisoner of hell just keeps going on and on and on. For every day that gets marked off, there's another one added to the end of it. It never, never ends. Someone once used the illustration of, think of a steel ball the size of the earth. And you got this little sparrow that weighs several ounces. And that little sparrow walks around the earth. How many years would you think it would take for him to wear a groove in that steel ball? 10,000 years? 100,000 years? A million years? Do you want to wait and look at that little bird do that? Forever and ever. We can't imagine in our finite minds how long that is and how horrible that is. You know, we can watch a clock. You know, a minute doesn't seem very long. But if you sit there and you watch the clock, like some people do in church, you'll see that a minute lasts a long time. And I think the worst thing about being in hell is just like Abraham with that man there, is regret. Because each and every person that's going to go up before God is going to know that there were Bibles out there. If they didn't have one, they could get one for free. They probably had one on their shelf. They probably went to Sunday school when they were kids. They've probably seen on TV passing stations that had religious broadcasts. There was enough there for them each and every day to know that they could read this and understand what God wants them to know. But each and every day and every second, as they're burning in torment, they have to understand that they made a choice themselves that put them there. God doesn't send people to hell. People send themselves there by not following God. Hell is not where I or anyone wants to spend eternity. However, because of God's grace, we get to decide where we're going to spend eternity. You know, he who hesitates this morning has already decided. They've already decided not to follow him. What will we decide today? Will we decide to turn back to him? If we strayed away, will we rededicate our lives to him? Or will we take those first steps to a life in this kingdom? Your problems are not going to go away. You're not going to get rich. But I'll guarantee you that each and every day that you walk with Jesus and you walk in this kingdom, those problems seem a little bit smaller because of the joy in your heart, the confidence you have in that salvation that he's given us. And we know that each and every day that we're going to walk with him someday in heaven. And the beauty of that. Don't choose the other. Choose life. Life eternal. Now next week, I know we talked about the bad this morning, and I hope I've gotten your attention with it. Next week, we're going to talk about what they don't get. We're going to talk about heaven and why it's so great up there. Because just as Jesus and the apostles talked about hell, they also talked about heaven and how wonderful that place is. And that alone, after we get our attention this morning, ought to cause us to look to see what we need to do to get there. I don't know what your condition is this morning or what your needs may be, but once you come, as we stand and sing the song of invitation.